Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, May 2nd, the late Pope Francis appears in a new reflecting on the example of St. Peter, the first pope, and his 12-year mission as his successor. The UN Children's Agency warns of famine for children in Gaza as the war continues, and the cardinals reflect on the importance of evangelization for the next pope's Petrine ministry. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. The Spanish-language television network ESNE today released an unseen video interview with the late Pope Francis, recorded in 2021. Speaking to Noel Diaz at the Casa Santa Marta, the late Pope reflected on biblical passages recounting the dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, and he repeated his desire that the Church might be a humble servant in the midst of the world. Christopher Wells reports.
Total trust in God, the awareness of being weak and a sinner, a new call to priests to put themselves at the service of all. His admiration for contemporary martyrs, and his concern for migrants are some of the themes Pope Francis addressed in a 2021 interview with Noel Diaz at the papal residence of Casa Santa Marta. Diaz is the founder of the lay association El Sembrador Nueva Evangelización, ESNE, which announces the Word of God through television and radio. The previously unaired interview with Pope Francis, originally intended to be part of a documentary, is set to be broadcast by ESNE on Friday. In the conversation with Mr. Diaz, Pope Francis was asked about his understanding of various scripture passages concerning St. Peter, the first pope. The Holy Father emphasized that Peter was called from the midst of his people, that he placed his confidence in Jesus, that he recognized his weaknesses, and that he was chosen precisely in order to be a pastor. Reflecting on the promises made to Peter, Pope Francis insisted that, although some popes may have wandered from the path proposed by Jesus, they never erred in the faith. And he insisted that the Lord always takes care of his people, not just the pope. This provided Pope Francis with the opportunity to speak about the martyrs of today, who, as he often insisted, are more numerous than in the early days of Christianity. Finally, prompted by Mr. Diaz, Pope Francis offered a blessing to migrants, recalling all those who have had to leave their homes and who long for their friends, their family, and the beauty of their homeland. I'm Christopher Wells.
UNICEF is warning that children in Gaza are reaching breaking point after 2 months of a total aid blockade and over 18 months of war. With food, water, and medicine running short, the UN agency says the lives of thousands of children are now at risk. Francesca Merlo has more.
UNICEF has issued a stark warning about the worsening humanitarian situation in Gaza, where children are being pushed to the limit after 2 months of a total blockade on aid and more than 18 months of ongoing war. In a statement released on Thursday, the UN agency reported that over 75% of families in Gaza have experienced a severe decline in access to clean water. Many now face impossible choices, whether to drink, cook, or wash. Safe hygiene is becoming increasingly difficult, and waterborne diseases are spreading fast. One of the most urgent health concerns is acute watery diarrhea, which now accounts for one in every four recorded cases of illnesses in Gaza. Most of these affect children under the age of five, for whom the condition can be deadly. At the same time, vaccines are running low, and healthcare services are collapsing. Malnutrition is also rising rapidly. Since the beginning of the year, more than 9,000 children have been admitted to hospitals for treatment of acute malnutrition. Hundreds more are in need of urgent care but remain unreachable due to insecurity and mass displacement. UNICEF's executive director, Catherine Brussels, said children in Gaza have endured non-stop bombardments and a complete lack of access to essential goods and services. Every additional day of the aid blockade increases the risk of hunger, disease and death. Nothing can justify this. And in fact, families in Gaza are trapped. Farmland has been destroyed, fishing is heavily restricted, bakeries are closing, water production has dropped, and shops are nearly empty. Humanitarian aid has been the only lifeline, but stocks are rapidly depleting. Russell reminded the international community that under humanitarian law, all parties must ensure civilians have access to food, water, medical care and basic hygiene. Aid must be allowed to enter safely and without delay. So UNICEF is calling for the immediate lifting of the aid blockade, the entry of commercial goods into Gaza, the release of hostages and the protection of all children. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Catholics in the troubled Indian-administered Kashmir have been praying for peace and reconciliation in the region amid resurging tensions between the rivals India and Pakistan after a deadly terrorist attack. The attack last week was perpetrated by armed militants near the resort town of Pagal Begum and killed 26 Indian civilians, including a Catholic. The incident has reignited decades-long tensions between the two nuclear-armed neighbors, with India accusing Pakistan of supporting the perpetrators and Islamabad of rejecting the allegations. Lindsay Zingarini has the story.
Amid escalating hostilities between India and Pakistan in the wake of the terrorist attack that claimed the lives of 26 Indian tourists on April the 22nd near Pahalgam, Catholics in Kashmir have taken to prayer and public witness urging peace and reconciliation. Bishop Ivan Pereira of Jammu Srinagar reported to Fides agency that the region's small Catholic community has been holding prayer vigils and peaceful marches, joining other people of goodwill in seeking calm in a land long fraught with conflict. Describing the attack on the tourists as a cowardly assault on innocent life, the bishop emphasized the need for justice. However, he also cautioned against retaliatory measures that could further destabilize the region. Bishop Pereira reaffirmed to Fides the Catholic Church's ongoing commitment to peace-building and interreligious harmony in the region. Our mission is to bring peace, brotherhood, and promote the dignity of every human being, regardless of culture or religion, he said. Christians have been present in Muslim-majority Kashmir for over a century and have been actively involved in promoting development and harmony through various educational efforts. Despite the heightened tensions, Bishop Pereira said the local Catholics are drawing spiritual strength from the global church as they celebrate the Jubilee of Hope. He added that the community remains hopeful and spiritually united as the church prepares to elect the new pope. Meanwhile, the United States are trying to mediate to diffuse the tensions. Secretary of State Marco Rubio held separate talks with India's foreign minister and Pakistan's prime minister on Wednesday and called on them to maintain peace and security in South Asia. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The Archdiocese of Seoul in South Korea has inaugurated its Breathe Life into the Whole World campaign with a symbolic tree planting event, marking the first of several ecological initiatives in preparation for World Youth Day 2027. Around 80 participants gathered on the southern slope of the Sangam World Cup Park to plant 300 Cornelian cherry trees chosen for their early spring blossoms and carbon-absorbing properties. Organizers described the activity as a symbolic beginning to a three-year ecological movement inspired by Laudato Si, Pope Francis's 2015 encyclical on environmental stewardship. The campaign aims to promote sustainability, ecological awareness, and intergenerational solidarity. In collaboration with the Seoul city government, the Archdiocese plans to plant more than 10,000 trees through six events involving approximately 2,000 volunteers. The chosen venue is a reclaimed landfill-turned-ecological reserve, serving as a symbol of renewal and care for creation. A 180 cardinals met in the Vatican's new Synod Hall on Friday morning as they continued preparing to elect a new pope. They focused on the topics of evangelization, fraternity, synodality, and unity in their interventions, as Linda Bordoni reports.
Briefing reporters on Friday morning, the Holy See Press Office Director, Matteo Bruni, said that just over 180 cardinals were present at the 8th General Congregation in preparation for the upcoming conclave, which is set for Wednesday, the 7th of May. The three-and-a-half-hour congregation, he added, began with prayer and then gave way to 25 speeches. Of the cardinals present on this 2nd of May, more than 120 of them were electors. Some arrived in the last few days and were sworn in during a mid-morning break. Bruni revealed that the speeches focused on evangelization as the focus of the pontificate of Pope Francis, on the Church as an evangelizing fraternal communion, on the need to communicate the gospel, particularly to young people. The suffering and the witness of the Eastern churches was also highlighted, as was the question of how to make the communication of the gospel effective at all levels, from parishes to the Roman Curia. The risk of counter-witness, including sexual abuse and financial scandals, was also discussed, as well as the importance of canon law, synodality, and the role of the Eucharist in missionary work. Last but not least, the cardinals exchanged views on the hermeneutic of continuity between Popes John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Francis. Responding to a question about an alleged health incident reported yesterday by some media involving Cardinal Parolin, Bruni emphatically denied that it had occurred. "It's not true," he said, "and no, no doctors or nurses intervened. Absolutely not." I'm Linda Bordoni.
With less than a week until the 133 cardinal electors head into the Sistine Chapel to elect a new successor of St. Peter, the Vatican's technical preparations are underway for the conclave. As Kelsey Gussie reports, what is perhaps the most famous chimney in the world was installed above the frescoes of Michelangelo.
Workers have attached the chimney to the top of the Sistine Chapel, where all eyes will be glued as people look to see smoke, announcing whether a new pope has been elected. The first recorded papal election in this chapel took place in 1492, but the Sistine Chapel, decked out in frescoes of famed Italian artists, has been the permanent setting for conclaves since 1878. As preparations gear up for the start of the election process on May 7th, the Sistine Chapel has been closed, and over the coming days, staff will be setting up the space and audio equipment and prepping the floors for the election. While there have been simultaneous translation services during these general congregations, there will not be during the conclave, as they are closed-door meetings. However, before the cardinals enter the Sistine Chapel, there will be a prayer service conducted in Latin. After the cardinals process into the chapel, they will take an oath. The former preacher of the papal household, Cardinal Cantalamessa, will give a sermon. Then, the first round of voting will commence. Behind those closed doors, the process of electing the new successor of St. Peter will begin, as millions watch from St. Peter's Square and on television to see the white smoke billow out from the chimney, announcing a new papacy. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The Papal Foundation, a U.S.-based charitable organization supporting the initiatives of the Holy Father in developing nations, has announced an allocation of $10 million in grants for relief projects previously identified by the late Pope Francis. An additional $4 million will be directed toward urgent humanitarian assistance through the Mission Fund. The support will include access to clean water, the construction of renovation of schools, restoration of churches and seminaries, building of healthcare facilities, and care for elderly priests. In addition to grants, the Papal Foundation annually allocates $800,000 in scholarships for over 100 priests, religious sisters, and seminarians. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.